You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, the Binge Aftertaste.
One of the most notorious slashers in history.
Why, hello, podcast listeners. It's your friends till the end, Binge Media, bringing you another Binge Movie Aftertaste retrospective.
Play with this.
This time, Garrett brings his old friend Matthew Goudreau over from theyoungfolks.com here to the airwaves in order to discuss all eight films of the Child's Play franchise.
Trust me, you're gonna love it.
The boys will talk about each film in depth to her podcast, leading up to a review of the brand new entry, Cult of Chucky, which is now available on DVD, Blu-ray, and on Netflix.
I would rather take my chances as a supernaturally possessed doll. It's less complicated.
So be sure to listen to each of these four shows as Garrett and Matt both prove how you just can't keep a good guy, or even these two knuckleheads, down for long.
I can't think of a thing to say. Fuck it.
All coming up, courtesy of Binge Media.
It's showtime!
I'm Garrett, I'm once again sitting here with Matthew Goudreau. What's going on, Matt? How you doing today, bud?
Not too much. Ready to talk about a brand new Chucky movie, which I can't believe in 2017 of all places.
Brand new Chucky movie, just on the brink of being the 30-year mark for this particular franchise. 30 years, same guy behind each and every script. Pretty remarkable feat in and of itself, no matter what we have to say about the movie, that Don Mancini has stuck it out the way he has.
Yeah, well, it's his baby. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy who'd want to give it up.
Yeah, and there's been talk of rebooting the entire thing, but we'll talk about when we get to the end of this thing. But could you really see anyone other than Brad Dourif behind that voice? I couldn't.
No, but speaking of reboot, when I went back and watched Curse of Chucky, as we talked about in the last show, I kind of thought it was going to be almost a straight reboot, and then it wasn't for the last 20, 25 minutes. But walking into this one, I thought they were going to continue on that trend. Mm-hmm. Even though we knew some of the players that were coming back before I sat down and watched it.
I've been reading a lot of interviews with Mancini. After I watched it, I just went ahead and just, there are a lot of interviews just talking about the end of this thing, which is just, which is pretty much batshit crazy. Everything that he said, that he has drawn inspirations from everything from Shutter Island to Inception to, and we called this last week, A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3 Dream Warriors. All of those influences are definitely felt here, plus a hell of a lot more. I saw a lot of different stuff in this one that we hadn't seen before. All right, Matt, you ready to delve into the plot?
Yeah, let's delve right into this. I gotta say, I got a kick out of watching this movie. It wasn't what I was expecting.
It completely wasn't what I was expecting either. I'm not sure if I got a kick out of it.
Well, I say kick in the sense that throughout this whole series, these movies are eminently watchable, and I felt this was the same way, regardless of how I feel about the quality.
However, this movie, we open on a dinner scene between Andy and a redheaded girl named Rachel, and holy shit, the B-movie acting is making me feel like I'm watching a straight-to-DVD movie, which, by the way, we are.
Yeah, it's more like D, because... God. Holy shit. I watched this with a friend of mine who likes these movies, and I turned to him and I said, if this is what the whole movie's going to be like, we're in trouble, because his acting had not improved whatsoever.
It is terrible. Granted, you can't remain sick your entire life. Granted, it's admirable of Mancini to just say, okay, well, I'm going to continue this storyline. And Andy is a main proponent in this movie. He is not a side character. He is not an end cameo like he was last time. He is a main fucking character in this movie. And right away, I want to say that was a mistake.
Yeah, and I think main should be in quotes because I think Andy's entire purpose to this movie is problematic for what happens at the end and ultimately how he's used. Just felt like he was a plot device to get to a certain point.
Absolutely. I'm not going to say used. I'm going to say misused, but we'll get there. During this dinner conversation, we get a fast recap of Andy's history with Chucky.
Previously on Child's
Play. Yeah. And we see the babysitter fall out the window for the first time since that first movie. And you know what? Even though me and you have been going through these, I had completely forgotten about that death. And that's the one death he brings up, is the one of his babysitter. Wow, that was weird.
Yeah, kind of selective memory. Although it's not like he lost his mom. She never died or anything like that. So I can see how that's the first one he sticks with, because that's kind of what they sold the first movie on. If you look at the poster for the first Child's Play, it's that the exterior of that window and you see the Chucky face in the background. So I can see why they pulled from that again.
Mm-hmm.
And we do get, I believe the number was 37 confirmed murders. I'm not sure if that checks out throughout the whole series. I'd have to go back and do some math, but I'm surprised they threw out a number.
I was too, and I didn't bother going and doing the math either. But knowing Mancini, he's probably right. We get Rachel, who actually Googles Andy, which I thought... of course, if you're dating somebody for the first time, you're going to fucking Google them. Of course you are, right? She actually ends up leaving the dinner after Andy recaps that, yeah, I have guns to protect myself.
I think that was her saying, all right, Don, I can't do this anymore. I'm out of the movie with this no-acting piece of shit. That's how I read it, because she looks just discouraged and disappointed throughout the whole scene.
She does.
And I don't, her boyfriend is a potential psychopath.
And not to mention, I'm thinking throughout this entire conversation, I'm thinking, okay, she's going to get sympathetic and she's going to be on his arm the entire movie. And Mancini's going to try to make him completely sympathetic with this girl. The fact that he has her get up and walk away, I was thinking my lucky stars they did that, because whew, I would have probably left too. So Andy goes to the arsenal in his cabin, grabs a beer. I like the showing of the Kent military sweater. I thought that was a nice little callback.
Yeah, and I like how it's guarding a safe.
Yes, which contains Chucky's head.
All right, here's the problem with this, at least for me.
Okay.
Because it's burned, I think we're supposed to imply that that's the head from the first movie. However, it's scarred up, so it can't be.
I thought it was what he shot. I thought it was from the last movie.
Oh, that could be it. Yeah. I think one of the problems with this movie is that it's the first time in a long time where you're supposed to care about the continuity of this series, which is never really something that has been at the forefront of Child's Play. So it creates a weird dynamic throughout the whole movie where it's like, am I really supposed to care about what's come before, or are you trying to do your own thing?
Yeah.
But now that you mentioned because I completely forgot the post-credit scene for Curse. It's just how I read it on the first viewing. I thought it was the head from the first one.
Chucky's taking drags off his cigarette, and this is just a completely odd way of starting this story.
Not just a cigarette. He's smoking pot.
Is that pot, too? I didn't see that.
Yeah, he says, can I have a hit?
I thought he was just taking a drag off the cigarette. It was pot?
No, that's a joint, because you can't see any tobacco on that.
Oh, okay. I did like the natural redhead line. I thought that was kind of funny.
And the cheap jump scare with him trying to freak out Andy, because he's like, yeah, you may be grown up, but you're still that 6-year-old kid I tormented.
And plus, Chucky has a point when he tells Alex Vincent that he's all he has. I mean, is that Mancini just saying that? Yeah, I'm all you have, dude. You're never gonna act in anything other than my movies, so you better like him.
Get used to it.
Yeah, get used to it, exactly. And then Andy torches his head, and we get the opening credits. We cut to Nika waking up in an insane asylum and getting her brain juiced up. This is exactly where we were expecting to meet her, right? After the end of the last movie, she was already in an asylum, so this is where we're expecting to meet up. Now, how long after that last movie are we at right now?
I don't think they give a specific timetable. I'd assume she can't have been there all that long, but at the same time, she's about to be transferred to another psych ward. So she must have had to go through enough processing to get the clearance to advance. But nice little nod I noticed in the opening credits as a hometowner. Her place of birth is Providence, Rhode Island, which is also my place of birth. So I thought that was a cool touch because we don't get a location for Curse. We don't know where that house is.
Correct. Yeah, we mentioned that in the last podcast. Nika is talking to her doctor, and we learn that she's getting transferred to minimum security. And we also learned that her security guard has a husband who has MS. And you knew Mancini was going to inject a storyline like this, didn't you? Like a gay character just kind of dealing with something that makes him sympathetic.
I didn't have a problem with it.
I didn't either. I'm just saying that he tends to do it a lot in all of his movies.
He does, but I like how we're in a day and age where we don't have to call attention to it. It's just part of the movie. Move on.
Exactly.
Just a little glimpse to give you, because he's not sympathetic to her at all. He just says, I'm just doing my job.
Nika gets interaction with a ghost, which turns out to actually just be a crazy person, as well as a jump scare as Michael comes into the picture. Some economic storytelling being told here, where we're meeting all these characters one by one. We're going to be with all these characters in various stages throughout the course of this entire movie. How are you feeling about where we're at right now?
Now that we're away from Alex Vincent, I was like, okay, we're with the character I actually wanted to follow. Yeah. But this was where I immediately saw the Dream Warrior connection, where they're clearly trying to find all the characters in this group that's going to carry throughout the movie. I did have one question. They're in their little first like council session talking about how she's tied to the murders. They never addressed the fact that in Cursed there were no fingerprints on the axe or any of the murder weapons. Was there any sort of investigation? How'd they know that she 100% did it?
I think she admits to it, doesn't she?
Does she?
I think she does.
As like a plea deal?
Yeah.
Like plea insanity?
I think it's a plea insanity, but I think she actually starts believing that she is. And we're going to learn throughout this movie whether she does, you know, obviously we know that Chucky did it, but we're going to learn through characters how they figure out that she isn't. But I think she's admitting that she actually did do the murders.
Did you catch, this is one of the times where I felt the most browbeaten, is when the doctor's talking to her before she's transferred about starting a new chapter, and the movie cuts to a literal crossroads in the street.
Absolutely. Yep.
I was like, okay, Don, you're not Martin Scorsese. Do you realize what kind of movie you're making?
Yeah. Oh, positively. And you know what else he does in this movie a lot, too, is given the fact that he has Brad Dourif in a movie that takes place in an insane asylum, how many fucking One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest references can we fit in?
There was one that made me almost turn the movie off. I was like, man, you know, you hang out with a mouse close enough and you have a piece of cheese, eventually he's going to get it.
So Nika gets in a group where she admits to being jealous of her sister, and she gets told by Angela that Chucky is in fact coming for her and that the little girl Julie from the first film is not well.
It's kind of cool, you know, getting to know all these characters through this meetup. And again, like you said, big time Dream Warriors reference here. This is the way we got introduced to the characters in that film. But I don't know. How are you feeling about where we're at right here?
I was enjoying once we got to the asylum, I was complacent with where we were. I was like, okay, we're finally staying with the character that I was. They're following up on where Curse left off, which is what I wanted from this movie. I wanted to expand upon that as opposed, because I didn't want to see Andy come back.
Absolutely. And just, yeah.
Acting aside, it just felt like an excuse to bring this full circle when it doesn't call for it.
Mm-hmm. Bringing him back is nothing. You're right. Especially, you know, we're going to get into the way he's used eventually, but there was no point to having him here other than for people to say, yeah, there's Andy, look.
Yeah. And if you were going to use him, why not have him at the asylum that she's at? Just go the full Dream Warriors route. Or better yet, bring Catherine Hicks in. This is the time to do it. They say at the end of the first one, end of the second one, she's been committed.
Uh-huh.
This would have been the opportune time to bring her in.
Absolutely. And she was at a lot of panels leading up to this movie. It's not like she's trying to put this series behind her, you know.
Yeah, she's never disowned it.
Yeah, she never disowned it. She's going with it as well. You're right. That would have been a great opportunity to bring her in. Maybe we'll see that in the next film. The doctor has a Chucky doll that he got at a Hot Topic.
That made me laugh because that feels so, getting it at a Hot Topic.
Like early 2000s. Yeah.
No, but you go to FYE, you see Chucky. I see Chucky dolls all over the place. There's a lot of horror memorabilia.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Wow.
There's a lot of it. And this is the first time they say that 2% of the dolls were named Chucky. I always thought that was, in the first one, I always thought he was the only one.
I did too.
I didn't realize he was one of the names that they went with.
Now, something I noticed in this scene, Matt, was the dolls, they're talking in a more husky voice.
Yes.
Why did he do that? Is it just because this is a more adult film, or what is he going for here? Why are they in deeper voices? Is it because we're trying to get paranoia from her?
Well, I don't think it's that. I wonder if it's a continuity mistake because we don't get a history of the good guy dolls coming back post Child's Play 3. And in the third one, the dolls that talk, the new dolls of the 90s, they sound exactly the same. So I don't know if it was just a continuity mistake or Mancini just trying to up it, but it doesn't work either way.
Nika gets visited by Jennifer Tilly. And there goes the question of whether they would use this fucking appearance to a tilt.
She has aged very well, though.
Oh my God, she has. Hasn't she? I guess I guess sitting down playing poker is really good for you.
It relaxes you, but I wasn't surprised to see her at all, much less see her this early.
Positively, this is somebody you're going to bring back. She's another one. She completely owns this franchise, so why not bring her back? We're going to get into how she's used here. I'm not sure she's used in the best way.
Yeah, and it's never 100% said that she is the possessed Jennifer Tilly.
Yep.
Although there's that stupid line where she's like, you know, you look exactly like Jennifer Tilly.
Oh, God. Self-referential bullshit. Tilly grabs another doll, and I'm starting to see a pattern here. That's all these dolls are starting to gather up. Now I'm starting to figure out where the name Colt comes from as we're gathering more and more dolls here.
They do mention that Alice has died off screen. They pulled an Alien 3.
Yep.
Which kind of makes me retroactively dislike Curse even more, because you're like, why'd you have me invested in this character remotely if you were just going to kill her off in the next one off screen? I hate when movies do that. It's such a pet peeve of mine.
But we don't know what the extraordinary circumstances are. Maybe she didn't want to come back. Maybe there was a contract that he had to. I don't really look at that. I kind of look at that as a write out. He's trying to write out something that happened off screen. That's the way I'm looking at it. Because look at how many fucking people are here from previous entries. I think he would have had her here if he could. There had to have been something that prevented her from coming back, and he had to write her out. That's just my guess. I'm giving the movie a lot. I'm giving Mancini a lot. Just given what I'm seeing here, and I've seen the last two or three films, I have to believe that.
I would have been more accepting of it if there wasn't such a flimsy excuse of, I think she died of a broken heart. I would have been okay with, you know, this movie goes to certain places. Why not just say Tiffany killed her? Or shipped her off or did something, you know, go there. Go to one of those dark places. You kind of pushed it in Curse, and it seemed like you were staying in that horror route. But again, one of the problems of the series, it doesn't know how to fully commit itself 100%. The only time it did was Bride of Chucky, but it didn't really lean either way. It embraced the camp, but it was still structurally kind of a horror movie. And this, we're probably a half hour in. It's sticking to the, it's not outright scary, but it's not the outright farce fest of Seed.
Mm-hmm. One thing I noticed too is Mancini's really using the camera in this film. In these early scenes especially, like some interesting shots of Nika from outside a rain-soaked window. He's really, really using the camera here.
One of the things I do like about this movie a lot is the set design of the insane asylum. I like how it's very minimalist.
Yes.
I like how it's, you know, white walls. It's like almost sepia tone in a way. I think it looks really polished, but without looking like, you know, the J.J. Abrams Enterprise deck. I mean, I think it looks really good, but we'll kind of delve into this later. I don't think they do enough with the fact that it takes place in a mental asylum.
Interesting. I'm also liking Chucky's reflection in the scalpel. I think that's a nice touch. A lot of good directing choices here that I'm really digging.
Yeah, and I like how they kept the redesign from Curse for the dolls.
Yes. Although, is it just me, or is Dourif using a completely different inflection for Chucky in this one?
Yeah, it's a little bit higher.
Yeah.
In pitch. I don't know if that's to counteract the huskier dolls.
I don't know if they're like, they just don't have the people that they had for the entire series. Dourif is just sounding different. Chucky just seems different. This is just a completely different film, and maybe that's exactly what he was going for.
Mm. And it could also be just age. He's getting up there.
Yeah. Another Cuckoo's Nest reference happens, because of course it does, as Chucky says, well, I'm in the Cuckoo's Nest. And
that was the moment I was like, I paused the movie and got up. I was just,
really? That was it?
That was what I alluded to earlier. I'm like, that's too much. The fact, if it was someone other than him saying it, I would have been more forgiving.
Mm.
But the fact that was his kind of breakout movie, got him an Oscar nomination, to have him literally call it out like that, it was too much for me. There's some more egregious ones as they go along, but that was the first one that made me really roll my eyes.
There's a reference in this that we're going to get to later that really irked me almost to that point. I had no problem with the Cuckoo's Nest stuff. Look, you have Brad Dourif in your movie. Why the fuck not?
That's just so much of this movie is why not?
Yeah, yeah. I agree. So Chucky makes his way to Nika, who apparently has cut herself.
Yeah, using the spoke of her wheelchair.
Yeah, that was kind of creepy. But there's a weird sequence where they find a writing of a Chucky in blood, and I'm completely getting Nightmare 3 vibes that you pointed out last podcast. You know, he leaves like writing some blood on the floor. That's directly from Nightmare 3.
And I do like how this and Curse, they're allowing Chucky to be more cunning.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's like, no, you're not taking the easy way out. I'm gonna deliberately mess with you.
Yeah.
Until I win, then I will take you out.
Yeah, yeah. He's more maniacal in this. Cunning's a great way of putting it. Although this is going to be a common theme, but these Andy injections are just weird. Every single time they cut to him, I'm just, get off him. I want to see what Nika's going through. Like, I don't care about him.
Exactly.
We see Nika explaining who Tiffany Valentine is, and she makes the doctor prove that Chucky is just a doll by burning it, which was another just weird scene.
I do like it, though, because it's a cool little callback to the second movie when he gets melted by the plastic.
Is that what that was? I guess it would be, huh? I guess that would be.
That's how I read it, because so much of this movie is paying tribute or homage to the films that have come before it, and it works to varying degrees, but I thought that was a cool little touch. At least that's how I read it.
I'll give Mancini this. I think this movie, once again, has a completely different vibe from the last ones. At this point, I'm not sure if I'm going with that vibe, but you got to give the guy, man. I mean, he could have just as easily just piggybacked on what he did in that last film, but he's making almost a mind fuck of a Chucky movie, and that's ballsy. I give him major, major props for that.
Yeah, for sure. It's not, he doesn't sleepwalk through this movie.
No. Clara has a psychiatric breakdown, and Mancini is certainly continuing his weird use of wipes. And even he's even putting in some De Palma split screen as well.
Yeah, there's De Palma in there. There's George Lucas in there with the prequel wipes.
Yep.
So he's pulling from a lot of different sources.
And while I've been giving this movie some shit, I do like the death of Claire, if only for how helpless she is. And I do love the callback to Bride with the falling glass.
I hated that.
Did you really? I found that fucking amazing.
I like the additional element that she's tied down, but to be that deliberate with taking your best kill from the series and duplicating it, you know, you're kind of having your cake and eating it too.
And the way he does it, can definitely see where you're coming from with that. And even like the CGI head rip, I thought that was really just overdoing it. He definitely overdoes it, as we've said constantly in this series. But I dug it. He would have just done like the Ronnie Yu type vibe where it's in that white room, all you see is the red, then I could have gone with it. But the fact that he's showing the head just fall off, I thought that was just kind of stupid. Other than that, though, I thought it was really, really cool.
I thought it was leading to something different because he pulls out the air tank.
Yeah, I did too. That's why I'm saying I think it was effective just because of the way it came about. You know, it's not like he was like, oh, look, I want to do this same kill I did last movie. Watch this. Nope, he just kind of nonchalantly makes it happen, and that's why I really dug it.
I thought he was going to clip it to her chair and shoot her across the hallway.
What is he, Wile E. Coyote? He's not going to fucking do that, dude.
Why not? Because even at this point, I'm just kind of ho-hum with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, once that we've gotten to know the characters, I'm still not 100% invested because Nika is not quite the focus she was in Curse. We don't get much of her backstory or her really dealing with the ramifications of what's happened outside of her scenes with the creepy therapist.
All the snowfall is weird, if slightly effective. Again, a different background than what we're used to in a Chucky movie. And here we go with what you were just explaining there, Matt. Nika getting hypnotized. And I do like the notion that there really aren't a few Chucky dolls here, and she is in fact guilty. Like, they play with that for a little while. And here's where I'm really starting to go with the movie, because Nika says that Chucky is behind the doctor, yet Mancini just doesn't cut to a shot behind him. Instead, the doctor just goes in for a kiss, which is probably even more creepy than what any shot of Chucky would have done.
It is, but I called that 5 minutes into the movie.
What, that
I knew
that the doctor was skeezy?
Yeah, that he was taking advantage of her, just because that's such a... Mancini leaves no stone unturned with pulling from the cliches, and to have an abusive doctor... I was like, all right, that's just another check mark.
Well, it's a check mark, but I don't think he's going for shock. He's definitely doing the checks for this movie, for the cliches, but he's not doing it trying to insult you. He's doing it because it's what works with the story. It's not like, oh, look, this doctor's all of a sudden skeezy. We knew he was. You're right. I think he meant to put those breadcrumbs down there. It's not about finding out that he's a fucking asshole. It's about how Nika reacts to him. That's why I liked it.
How does she react exactly?
Well, funny you say that, Matt, because the only thing that can ruin this is if she actually wakes up and it's all a dream. She could have done that. That would have really fucked it up. But instead, Chucky kills the doctor, and the darkness that comes from giving her the glass is actually making me cringe. I thought that was like, he's fucking with her head. He is fucking with her head. The way she's coping is this fucking, she has no way to cope because this doll's fucking interrupting everything.
He does have a good line when he goes, oh, and they called me sick.
Yeah. I don't know whether they kill him or take notes. I thought that was a great line.
Immediately afterwards, it just fades to black.
Uh-huh. There he's not overdoing it. There he actually fades to black, and we're going on to the next scene. It works for me.
Although there's that laughable hallucination when she sees Alice, and then there's a giant Chucky doll that's like a shadow.
I hated that.
That was one of the worst in the whole movie.
Oh, I fucking hated that shot. What is up with this Mark character? Is he Mark? Is he Michael? Is he Charles? What the fuck is up with this guy? Is he actually there, or is he just like a projection of Nika?
I think he's actually there because I don't think Mancini is clever enough to make him. I think he could have done it where he's a representation of her past family, where each one of them correlates to one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't go that way. I think we're supposed to take it as he's actually there because we do see him interact with other people, which that would have been a tell if he's the only person that she talks to.
Andy gets into conversation with Jennifer Tilly. Now, here's something that we haven't seen. We haven't seen Andy interact with Tilly. But I do hate that Jennifer Tilly, who was once a very respected actress, is now having to act across this fucking buffoon.
They're not even face-to-face. She's over the phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Where she shared the screen.
Although
I do like the line where she's like, Tiffany, Jennifer, even I lose track.
Mm-hmm. You know, as much as I hated her in the last film, even in Seed, I wasn't really a big fan of her. But that mostly probably had to do with just her interaction with Red Man. I think she really works here. I think Mancini finally found a way to actually use her in the best way that he has since Bride, quite honestly.
Yeah.
And she's also like the, if you're going to give exposition, give it to Tilly, because now she's revealing that their cult is getting bigger. So she's the one who's telling us that the cult is getting bigger and bigger, and we better watch out. That's effective for me. Meanwhile, Madeline tries smothering her Chucky doll to death. As a callback to when we learned that she actually, that's how she killed her baby, and it's how she ended up here. She gets asked what she is doing to her. I like that this is what she's doing to forget that. I think that's a nice little character trait. You mess with crazy people, you can go a myriad of different ways. Again, Matt, is it cliche? Probably. I'm liking this because it's actually endearing me to the character.
No, I like that because it comes from a tragic place. Uh-huh. It's not... I didn't feel like it was Mancini taking advantage of mental disorders, kind of like how in Seed it felt like he was just using this movie unnecessarily as an allegory for homosexuality.
Uh-huh.
Here it doesn't feel like it's glorifying anything. I do like the scene, I don't know if it was before this or afterwards, where they're at the grave and she has the doll.
Right after.
Oh, that's right after? Okay.
Yeah. You're right. That's a great scene. I like Mancini's even playing. He'll always be back again. They say that as well. He always comes back.
Did you like the psycho line, though?
No.
Okay, because no, that was another one that made me groan.
Meanwhile, here's what you were referring to earlier, how they have to shoehorn Andy into this fucking movie. He commits himself into the asylum? What?
Yeah, why wasn't this the opening of the movie?
No shit! He should have been there the entire fucking time.
I don't know how that was structured because that came out of nowhere. And it's like, all right, it's a little late in the game to be doing this.
Exactly.
Because from the moment Tiffany talks to Andy, the movie feels incredibly rushed after that.
Chucky puts Nika to sleep as Dr. Foley gets a box in the shape of a crew cut Chucky. So yes, it's another box in the shape of a doll. So right now, Matt, we're an hour in. And majority of these characters I could really care less about. Some of them I'm going with, most of them no. I think in a lot of ways, I think Mancini's kind of done a piss poor job of setting us back up with Nika, a character I actually really cared about last film. Here, I'm not sure how the hell to feel about her. And I know that's kind of what he's going for, especially what we see her go through later on. But at this point, there are so many different characters here, I don't know whether I should care for her or not.
Yeah, I didn't feel like, who is the protagonist supposed to be? Is it Andy because he's the mainstay of the series? Or is it Nika because she's the most recent character? It's just, you should have had one or neither. Yep. You don't need both.
Yeah, absolutely.
It should have been Nika, period.
Uh-huh. This is who you've chosen to take your franchise into the next generation. You stay on her. You don't just go to these previous characters just because they were effective last time. It's almost reminding me, dare I say, of Force Awakens.
How so?
Because that movie pretty much used Han Solo and Luke Skywalker at the very end as just kind of the proponents, and they were just kind of there to say, look, here are these characters you loved. We're going to use them to make you like the ones that you don't know.
You know, not too much of that. I do agree with you to an extent, although, well, if we ever do a Star Wars show, we can talk about that in much more detail. Maybe that's a potential show you can be on mine at some point.
That I would definitely be up for that. Madeline gets a hug from Chucky as he literally fists her to death. Huh?
Yeah, that was felt really out of place.
My God, out of place? You're not wrong. Can a doll stick his hand down your throat enough to kill you?
I don't know if we should trust this movie to be anatomically correct, though.
And thank Christ it's not. Thank Christ it didn't go for, like, doll sex again. You know, thank God we're away from that fucking, that graveyard.
No, it's the charm.
Ugh, gross. So Nurse Ratched, I mean, the nurse who's in this room, she gets up and walks in just in time to see a bloody Madeline and Chucky in the corner. Again, the shot's cool. The actual makeup effect is actually pretty cool. I just find this is Mancini just going too far. All right, you want grisly, bloody deaths? Here's one for you. And it doesn't make any sense.
Nope, it's just, it feels like pandering.
Uh-huh.
To the people who wanted horror movies. Which, as we've talked about through this whole series, this franchise has never been scary by any means.
No.
You can argue whether it was intended to be in the first one or not, but even when you get to two, it's like, we're not trying to be scary.
Yeah.
And it's strange to go back, to try to go back to this. It worked to an extent in Curse because it's much more toned down, but here, given the setting, given the revelations about Chucky in this movie, by this point, I was ready to jump off the Titanic. But because this movie hits a literal iceberg in a couple of minutes.
What do you guys say, though? The movie sure does have a hell of a lot of the red stuff this time.
Well, it's all those gallons of blood they left over from Seed in those buckets.
Yeah. Dr. Foley walks in on Nika, who says Chucky did all the kills, as Foley says all this would make a hell of a book, which is funny.
I hope that's Mancini not alluding to the fact that he wants to write a book. Well, if it is,
it's funny that you say that. They have done comic books based on this character.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. They took place in the 80s, and Mancini was a part of it. They did comic books with him in them. As far as a novel, I don't think so. Chucky kills the doctor and says he's not sure whether to kill him or take notes, which I mentioned earlier. And then another Chucky walks into frame. Mancini had to put in a knock on networks for canceling the Hannibal show.
He did direct a few episodes.
Well, yeah. That's what I was just about ready to say. This is what almost made me leave the room, because I'm thinking, oh, he has a vendetta against networks for canceling this. What, is it his favorite show? But no, in that final season, he was a writer on staff. I didn't realize that until I did some research after I was done watching the movie.
So you felt like that was him still holding a grudge?
Yep, absolutely. Uh-huh.
It bothered me because it feels really out of place. It's like the Pinhead reference in Bride or the Britney Spears kill in Seed. It's like, you don't need this kind of stuff. No. It's going to date your movie.
It's going to date your movie. And not to mention, you've created 7 movies of a universe. You have plenty to go on. You don't need to go to other fucking characters from other movies, better movies, by the way, to enhance your product. You have so much of a universe you've already created. Work on that.
Yeah, pull from what you've created, not what others have created. Although, I do sometimes abide by the statement, good artists borrow, great artists steal, but when you're that blatant in it, you're not being clever.
No, you're too clever for your own good is what you are.
Yeah, especially with what we find out about Chucky. Oh, God.
Oof. So here we get what I think Mancini has been writing the story around the entire time, which is getting these 3 dolls together and Dourif just going to work with the dialogue. No complaints against Dourif here, but the fact that Chucky's revealing that a new spell makes him be anyone he likes, including Alice. When I first watched this, I turned on this. I didn't think this was a good idea at all. But then when I actually heard him do the spell and I saw her get up out of that wheelchair, I was going with it the second time I watched it, and I decided I really liked it. How are you feeling at this point?
Okay, as someone who has only seen this movie one time, I haven't gone back to it like you did.
Uh-huh.
I hate this decision because it's the laziest way to make all of this make sense. It's like, oh, all of a sudden now, 30 years later, he can transfer his soul into other people. And it's not even people. We don't see him possess other people before this. He's just the dolls. He's multiple dolls.
Yeah.
So there's a difference between transferring your one part of your higher soul into a human body and splitting it up into three separate pieces. It's totally different from what we've seen from the other Chucky movies. Those is much more singular. And once again, he finds it online, which is the most hackneyed explanation possible. And for a movie called Cult of Chucky, especially nowadays in the world that we live in with, you know, all these horrible mass shootings and just the awful climate we live in nowadays, what an interesting time this would be to explore the idea of our fascination with serial killers and sociopaths. What if Charles Lee Ray actually had followers that committed to him as the doll? Because in order to have a cult, you need members. It doesn't count if it's just you. By this point, I'm done with the movie.
Well,
except for when you alluded to when she gets out of the wheelchair. That reveal of, oh, I found this on voodooFordummies.com. I'm like, okay, it was funny in Bride, but by this point, it's not. Get off it.
I am liking the security guard death, though. He gets completely drilled and stabbed for about a minute and a half straight. That was a pretty cool death. I like that one.
Derek's having fun. It's fun to watch him interplay with himself.
Yes, I was about ready to say that. All these dolls, and I was reading an interview with Mancini where he was saying it was so hard to coordinate all three of these fucking things. You do as much as you can with what you have, and they didn't exactly have the highest budget for this thing.
And he's still doing practical work.
And it's all, not. Yeah, exactly. There's a few CGI shots every once in a while that I caught, but for the most part, you're right. It's all practical. These three dolls just kind of talking to each other, which makes Dourif talk to himself, is fucking fun for me. I like that a lot. We see the Tiffany doll used as a decoy, and I am still hating that there is no point to Tilly being here other than to say it's Jennifer Tilly. She was used effectively earlier on, but here it's just like, okay, what's going on? Although it does have a great payoff later on.
Yes, it does.
Chucky finally does his Ooga Booga chant, and once again, Nika rises from her chair in order to kill the doctor and fuel herself up, which I thought was kind of funny. How do you tell your actress to just fuel herself up just right there on camera?
Well, when your father's right there, I'm sure how awkward it
is. Yeah, no shit, right?
But also, she's got an accent now when she talks.
Yeah. Yeah, she's got an accent, and then later on she does do the Brad Dourif laugh, which I wasn't going with at all. I hated the fact that they went that far. Don't make her do the laugh. Only her dad can do that laugh. She tries, she gives it her all, but it doesn't look anything or feel anything like what her dad was doing. Although I do like the way she stomps this guy to death. That would hurt.
You don't think that was too much? Because that felt to me just being gratuitous for the sake of it. It's almost like, to a lesser extent, the fire extinguisher and Irreversible.
Well, let's put it like this. If you have I have written stories that take place in snow, horror stories that take place in snow. All you're thinking of when you're writing a horror story that takes place in snow is what the blood's going to look like on that snow. If you have a completely Kubrickian white environment, you use it to its full tilt. This girl is stomping this dude's face, and that blood is just squishing out of that head right onto that white floor. I'm fucking going with it. I like it a lot. You're saying it's too much?
I think it's too much. Because like I talked about with Curse, this series was never about the kills. To all of a sudden retroactively make it a full-on gore-fest slasher film, it just doesn't sit with me. Part of that's a personal place where I'm not the biggest fan of slasher movies in general.
Uh-huh.
There's some good ones to be sure. But it's just not a horror genre that I gravitated toward. I was never that kid who grew up idolizing slasher movies, and if you asked me like my favorite movie franchises, none of them would be slasher films.
Andy gets in a fight with a Chucky doll and rips its insides out. One thing I do not like about what Mancini is doing here is like the way he twists previous lines. Like here, Andy's saying, "This is the end, fucker." Okay, I understand. You're making a twist on "this is the end, friend" line from the first film. But the way Vincent's delivering it, not to mention the way this movie, this line is written, ugh, it's gross.
Yeah, deliver should be in quotes.
Ugh. It would be done. It would be okay if, like, say, Brad Dourif was delivering it. It'd be fine. But this little fucking prick, ugh. Nika comes in, I'm guessing, to kill the doll. And we knew with Tilly here that Fiona Dourif will be playing her lover, right? The Mancini film, so of course he's going to have them make out. And Tilly says that it's a shame about Alice, and we get uncontrollable maniacal laughter and a shot of the Tiffany doll in the backseat as credits roll. Into a scene, if all you guys listening to this haven't seen this movie, stop this right now. Watch the movie before you go further. Because this was a surprise. I was not expecting to see this fucking character. We'll talk about it in a little bit, but he saw a version where this scene was not in it. But just to give an overview, just like in the previous film, where Andy's the very final character, and there's a knock on the door, it's a box, and he shoots him in the head. Here, we see the Chucky head that Andy's been torturing. It's sitting right on Andy's table. There's a knock on the door. Here comes Christine Elise as Kyle to fuck with Chucky. I thought this was fucking brilliant, and I almost cheered in my seat when I saw this.
I was not expecting her to show up at all.
No. And I love the way it's revealed, too, because she walks up. You know it's a female, and you know it's somebody in a hat. But the way it's revealed is, like, Mancini's cutting to pictures of Andy and Kyle on the table. And then you see Chucky's face, his eye, well, not his eyes, but his eye lights up, and he just kind of looks up. It's like, Kyle? And she just comes walking in. A little more fuller-faced, you know, but she's still looking pretty decent. I love this reveal. I loved it a lot. Fuck, I want more. I can't help myself, Matt. I want more. 7 fucking films, and this scene is making me want more, if only just for more Kyle.
Well, I was trying to think, before they showed her, I was trying to run through my head who else it could have been. And there was no one else it could have landed on.
Yeah.
Unless it was Catherine Hicks. I thought that was the one trick they could have pulled out of their hat. I got excited. It wasn't Tyler, thank God.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? I mean, I haven't seen that kid since that movie. As we mentioned in the Child's Play 3 podcast, I don't think that fucker's worked since. Could you imagine if it was him, how big of a letdown that would be?
Or even if it was Glenn grown up.
It's like the feeling of, like, did you ever play Metal Gear Solid 2?
Yes.
And you're playing the entire game and you're trying to play as Snake, but you end up playing as Raiden instead. It's almost like that. So on a scale of 1 to 10, sir, what do you give so far the final film of the series, Cult of Chucky?
Yeah, I'm going to start off by saying there's no way this is the final movie.
Yeah, I agree.
Man, it sounded like I was coming hard on this movie, and I do kind of have to judge it on the fact that it is straight to streaming, straight to home media, so I do take that into consideration. I don't believe in the term guilty pleasures. I freely admit that I like what I like. And Child's Play, some of these movies do fall into that for me, where I do like them despite they can be very ludicrous. With the last film, I was totally with it until the last 30 minutes. This, I was not with it because it didn't have that surprise factor for me, where I was introduced to a new character I cared about. I hate the fact that Andy was brought back in. He's just an excuse to set up a sequel. That's how I felt like he was used. That's how I felt like he was pitched when they wrote this script. Same with Tiffany. Nika gets thrown under the bus to make her the new vessel to pay off something that really we should have gotten this Chucky finally succeeding. We should have gotten this way earlier than the 7th movie. There were parts of it I was entertained, but there were a couple moments where I was kind of dozing on and off. So I would give it 4 out of 10.
You gave this a 4? Really?
Keep in mind, I gave Curse a 5, and I like Curse better because it had that surprise element, and I was with that movie a lot more for the first 2 acts than I was with this.
I am really, really on the fence about this review, I'll be honest. There are parts of this movie that I really admire. There are some big, big ideas in this film, but there are also times when I loathe this movie. So the first time I watched this, I'll be honest, Matt, I was all set to go way low like you. I was all set to give it a lower rating because I felt more insulted than anything. But watching it a second time today, just taking off my binge aftertaste goggles, like not putting any notes down, just kind of sitting there looking, watching this movie, paying full on attention to it, I came to appreciate it for what it was, and I had a really good time with it. I think Mancini is, I don't know how he does it, man. He just keeps upping it and upping it with each and every movie. I definitely like this more than Curse, just because we don't get that crazy, stupid backstory that he tried with that last film. Here, it's just a straight mindfuck of a horror film. And we know it's Chucky the entire time, but the character of Nika doesn't. You can make an argument that where he eventually takes Nika, as you have pointed out, wasn't really satisfying. But I was definitely satisfied in watching this movie. It's not a great movie by any means. It's better than the last movie. So I'm going to go 6 on 10 for Cult of Chucky.
If I ever do watch it a second time, I'll let you know if I can take off my critical glasses, as you call them.
No, I call them the aftertaste glasses, Matt. Get it right.
The aftertaste glasses, gotcha. Yeah,
there you go. All right, so in press leading up to the release of this film, Mancini has said that he has a concept of Chucky going into space.
About time.
Yeah. You're not fucking kidding. He also has been toying with the idea of bringing the Glenda character back, which I don't think anybody would like. No matter how you look at it, dude, I have to believe that in 2-3 years, you and I are going to be getting back on the airwaves to discuss yet another Chucky movie, because I don't think he's done.
Now, for all we know, it could come out next year if they really push it, because next year's the 30th anniversary.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I could really see them making a push for that. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it'll be at least 2 years, because there's been a 4-year gap between this and Curse.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll be a little bit less than that, because people have been surprisingly more receptive towards these recent movies. And the fact that they're not theatrically released does give you a bit more of an advantage. So I think it'll be at least 2 years.
I'm seeing, after I watched it, I checked online, I was looking at reviews. There are a lot of really positive reviews for this movie. I was shocked to see that. Hey, one thing for sure, if they do another one, I won't have to change the opening credits of this, because I already have my announcer saying 8 films instead of 7. So.
Yes. We'll get that Chucky versus Leprechaun movie.
All right, sir, we've gone through the entire series. Rank these for me. Where do you hold each and every chapter of this series?
All right. I'm curious now, because I know you and I have disagreed on a few of these, but do we both agree Seed would be at the bottom?
Yes.
Okay, I would go Seed at the bottom.
Go from best to worst.
Okay, I would go best Bride of Chucky. Of all the movies, it was the one I had the most fun revisiting. It's the one I enjoyed the most, and I think it succeeds the most at what it's trying to do. And it revitalized the series for me. Mm-hmm. So that would be my number one. Number two, I would go with the first one. Then I would go Child's Play 3 third. I had a blast with that third movie. There's problems up the ass, but I had a blast with it. And like I said, it wasn't very good, but I enjoyed it. Then 4, I would go Curse. Then Child's Play 2, then Cult, then Seed.
We're similar, although maybe not too similar. I would go Part 2 as number 1 for me.
Okay.
That was just the most genuine surprise. I really liked that film a lot. Then I would go Bride. Then I would go Cult. I had a really good time with this one the second time I watched it. Then it's a stark slope down. I would go 3 just for its campiness. Then 1 because it started everything, but it wasn't really a really good film. And Seed is probably a movie, and like I said in that podcast, I will never, ever revisit again. I think that movie's just awful. Hey, again, we're going to be doing this again, dude. Mancini's not done. He seems in this for the long haul. And yeah, he's been writing TV lately. He did a few, like we said, a few episodes of Hannibal. He is flat out dedicated to Chucky, and I think we're going to see another one within a couple years.
Yeah.
All right, sir, so should we... I've been debating this all day. Should we let the cat out of the bag of what we have planned this week?
I think that should be your call.
All right. We're going to go ahead and do it. So Matt and I, we've been talking and we're scheduling yet another show. And I ran it by my main site boss today. And he said, oh, that's great. You guys should go ahead and do that. We're going to do a show. There's a stark contrast to this one. This one we had a lot of fun with. I think the show that we're going to have later on is not going to be as fun. This is going to be, although it could, given the guest, we're going to finally devote an entire show to the whole Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, perhaps Bryan Singer. I mean, all the allegations that are coming down the line.
Brett Ratner.
Yeah, we're gonna devote an entire show to that. Not just to, you know, each and individual case. We're just going to talk about how the trickle effect in Hollywood, how it's affecting the trickle down effect in Hollywood. And Matt and I, we are going to be talking to the one and only Adam Simon about this. And if all the listeners out there know Adam, they know that he has a view, and he's been texting us the stuff he's going to be saying on this show, and you fucking everybody better batten down the fucking hatches, because this is going to be a show and a half. And it's a show I've been wanting to do for quite a while, because I actually do have a couple personal Harvey Weinstein stories of my own. No, I was not I did not have to look at him in a bathrobe as I got walked in, but I've had a couple interactions where he was just pretty much boisterous, and I didn't really want to have any other interaction with him ever again. So we're going to go into that. We're going to go into a whole bunch of personal stories, not to mention just what the fuck this means for Hollywood and down the line. Like, how is this going to affect further generations? I think this goes further than even Hollywood. I think we're going to see it happen in sports. We're going to see it happen in every single job. Like, I think this is a huge trickle down effect, and we'll get into all of that when Adam's on. This could be a potential 2-3 hour show. I mean, we can go that deep, not to mention Adam has a lot of stuff to promote as well. So that's going to be a hell of a show. I'm really looking forward to that. All right, Matt, one last time, give people where they can see you, where they can see your work, hear your work.
You guys can find me at theyoungfolks.com. You can find my ramblings there on Facebook, Twitter occasionally. Check out for my podcast, Directors of Cinema. We'll be doing some shows coming up very soon. I don't want to give any names just yet, but there are some big tentpole movies coming out, and some of the creative forces behind that. And don't hold your breath, everyone, but there will be something with Star Wars eventually.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And I'm going to be on his podcast soon, so be on the lookout for that. Finally, after having this motherfucker on at least 5 times, he's finally going to have me on. Which, after going through a month of Chucky movies, I'm shocked that he would actually do that. So, but Matt,
like you said, these movies were not insufferable by any means. It was a lot of fun to revisit these.
Yeah, it was. I guess it was more fun than Genesis, huh? Terminator Genesis.
Don't even start.
And expect more of Matt in the future. I have more retrospectives on the way, and he's definitely involved with at least 2 more. I'm mapping out the entire next year and a half of retrospectives. And Matt, you're on at least 2 of those. So we'll go over that when we get off the air here. All right. Thanks, bud. Till when we talk to Adam Simon, I say goodbye.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
How much further till we get to the kid?
A ways.
Step on it!
What's the rush?
If I don't get out of this body soon, I'll be trapped in here! What are you looking at? Don't fuck with the Chuck!
Oh my God.
That is sick. What are you doing with this jerk anyway?
10 years is a long time, Chucky. Besides, I was never actually with him. You know me. I'll kill anybody, but I'll only sleep with someone I love.
How's it hanging, Phil? Oh.
Andy, no, please. We're friends to the end, remember?
This is the end, friend.
Claire has a psychiatric. I can. That's all I put was
psychiatric breakdown.
Yeah, yeah. Claire has a psychiatric breakdown.
What the hell?
Then I would go. Child's Play 3, third. Then I would go.
Tyler Matthew. Tyler, just keep, remember that name. You're still gonna say. Fucking Child's Play 3?
Don't worry, I tore that kid a new one. Well, phrasing. before it watched, you're going to find me next to Kevin Spacey in the newspaper.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on BingeMedia.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Buy some merch at BingeMedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at BingeMedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget,
I can't get enough of Super
Bob Odenkirk.